God bless you and good morning. Today is day four and we've together been looking at the book of Exodus. We have now come to chapter 3 where Moses is rejected by his brethren and is now taking a Gentile bride. But then his brethren continued in their groaning under intense servitude and under bondage until they would later recognize Moses as their deliverer. And in the same vein, the land of Israel, the Jews, according to Christ, will remain trodden under feet until they will say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They will remain groaning until then. We trust that one day, according to verse 24 here in Exodus, God heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And we are looking forward to that day, and God will remember this covenant, as this in itself is a timepiece for we the Gentiles. So, back to our thought here. In chapter 3, Moses is led to the burning bush. The burning bush is a very familiar story to everyone. If I'll just read two verses there. "While Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, he led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God called Horeb." Verse 2, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." The burning bush experience, the story is familiar to everyone. It did happen. It's not a cooked up story. You know that we live in an age and generation where the Bible is under attack for its credibility. And that is the last weapon of the devil. The devil has attacked everything. He's now attacking the Bible, even in the mind of believers. And once he's discredited the Bible in the mind of believers, what's left for the believer? Totally conquered. If we begin to give our ears to folks who think that everything divine never happened, there's some people like that. We hear the ministry of William Branham also under attack like that. And if there is anyone whose heart is already been, you know, gradually, subtly beguiled away in that manner, then listen up. The devil, usually, when he is deceiving, he is usually taking his captives on a journey. I've seen people who started first with discrediting the ministry of William Branham, and afterwards, they found themselves starting to discredit the scriptures. Starts you with one skepticism, taking you to the ultimate skepticism. You wake up one day and find that you're an atheist. It's a journey. You only have one option. Get off that bus. Get off that bus. When the serpent started to beguile Eve, he took advantage of her, but that was not his objective. The eventual objective was to take her completely out of God's presence. And that is what he achieved. So X-ray your own mind and be careful. These days, our minds are exposed to many things. We are inundated with information, with credible and incredible information. The Bible, there is no better time when that instruction is even more relevant than today for us to protect our heart, guard our heart, and be careful what we expose it to. Your mind may become your greatest coffers, a scoffer rather. The scripture tells us that in the later days, scoffers will arise. Those scoffers drop many things on your mind. And then later down the line, your mind itself begins to scoff at you. The burning bush experience did happen. The bush was burning, but it was not consumed. It was, in fact, the pillar of fire. It was a similar experience that William Branham had with the light around the tree that he had always seen from his birth. And from that burning bush experience, God spoke to Moses. The bush that is burning but was not consumed, we can look at it from different angles. In your life, there might be a bush that is burning, but it's actually not really burning. You might have a challenge. If you look at that challenge very well, it might be Jehovah trying to get your attention. Most times, the challenge, oftentimes, the challenge, if not self-inflicted, is not to consume us, is not to consume you, but rather to bring you closer. Because God wants more than anything to commune with you. And that is exactly what we see here with Moses. A burning bush that wasn't consumed was simply just an attraction. And as soon as Moses said in verse 3 that I will now turn aside, I will now lay down all my distraction. Everything else that is taking my time, taking my attention to see what is going on, to attend to this bush that is not burned. And verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, when the Lord sees that he now has our attention, then, when he sees that he's able to commune with us, to have that father-son time, then he gives us the solution to what seemingly looks like a burning bush, but is actually not a burning bush to consume, but a burning bush to get our attention. Now, brothers and sisters, some of us, we've walked this way for a while. We've grown so much till, you know, we don't remember to commune, particularly when, if you look at from the physical relationship, sometimes as you've grown, you have a mind of your own now, communing with your parents or your father may begin to become less relevant because you feel that you are too mature, you have a mind of your own, you don't need your parents anymore. But there is no father or no parent who doesn't want to have a relationship with their children. They don't want their children to become foreign to them, regardless of how mature that the child has become. Neither does God want us to become too mature in our Christian walk that a father-son relationship, father-son communion does not happen as frequently anymore. We've mastered all the Bible by heart, that we don't see a need to commune and spend time to, you know, quietly commune with God's word in reading it, in studying it. In some cases, you know, prayer has become a chore rather than a cherished moment of shared affection between the father and a son, or a father and a daughter, whichever case may be. And sometimes, you know, we spend all our energy trying to put off the fire, put off the bush that is burning, that is actually not really a fire. You try to put off the fire that is not actually a fire, but is actually an attraction that is put there to get your attention by the Lord. When the solution a lot of times is for you to simply turn aside, is for us to simply turn aside and attend to the one, our Father, who wants to actually get our attention. All Moses needed to do was to come near and be still and let the Lord know that, Lord, now you have my attention. Now you have me. Sometimes the solution to that problem is for you to draw nearer. Come nearer to him. Because as soon as Moses drew nearer, God gave a solution to the bush that was burning. And that bush was not to consume them. In verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptian, and to bring them out of that land into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And the Lord had, you know, a specific solution that he provided and started the process of deliverance for the children of Israel. You know, we miss out so much on this father-child exchange that is possible when we don't have quiet moment. You and the Father alone, you and the Lord alone. When the world is quiet, we will be missing out a lot. We always make excuses, you know. Most times we make excuses for the things that we don't have to do or we don't want to do. But if we want to do it, we'll find a way. There's a lot of distractions everywhere. But remember that there is also a lot that happens in that period of solitude. Sometimes the Lord puts a burden upon your heart, and you feel like that burden is just there. A lot of times that burden is to draw you to the place of prayer. the place of solitude. And when you do that, you find that you find comfort. Lord, may you draw our hearts closer to you, O God. We want to enjoy your sweetness. We want to not carry along with things in our head, but we want to have your affection in our heart, regardless of how far or how long we've been working this journey. We want to be soothed by you, by your presence, by your touch. We want to enjoy the quiet of your touch. We want to see you walk with us. We want to feel your presence. And all of this is possible when we turn aside to see this fire that's burning, that's not actually to consume us or to consume, but rather to get our attention. Help us today and grant us the grace to do this always. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.